Welcome to the Philharmoni Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:52 British Summer Time. Today is July 4th, and a happy Independence Day to anyone who might be celebrating it. And with the US market closed, it means Wall Street's closed and a number of the commodity markets are also shut. But there's plenty of other things to talk about, and not least in Europe. But let's start off in Asia. And the Hang Seng today extended its rebound, and it was up 1.6%, and the ASX, which has been up one day and down the next, was stronger today by about 1%. The majority of other markets in Asia, though, were a bit weaker in here today, and not in a dynamic fashion, but we haven't had the kind of emphatic bounces in Asia that have been taking place in Europe. Now, in Europe today, the DAX was stronger by 2%, and the FTSE was stronger by 3%. The Swiss market, which has had rather an impressive rebound, is up an additional 2%, and the majority of these markets are bouncing from the lower side of their respective ranges. They're being helped along by the weakness of their respective currencies, and the pound today was weaker by 2 full cents, and the euro was weaker by almost a full cent, and the Swiss franc by a full cent. The Canadian dollar was a little bit weaker, up or down 17 ticks, whereas the Australian dollar was a bit stronger. And the yen, having spent the majority of the day stronger than the 100 yen level, finished out the day exactly on 100 yen even. And that 100 yen area for the yen is likely to represent an area where it is going to pause. But as long as it holds there, then the prospect of a sharply stronger yen isn't likely to offer any kind of headwind to the Japanese market. And while the Japanese market was down by about 0.25% in here today, it's back in that 14,000 area. And that is also an area where it may pause. But it's been a substantial rebound and is a short-term overbought condition. When we look at what's been happening in stock markets, where we had sharp declines and some reasonably impressive rallies this week, then considering just how much the market has rallied since November of last year, then the potential for some increased volatility over the summer, where we go up and then we come back down and we get rather sharp moves in both directions. But what we continue to believe is that this is a mean reversion cycle for the majority of markets, and it's a mean reversion cycle within an overall bull market. And when one, for example, looks at the performance of the bank sector in the US, where it broke upwards a couple of weeks ago and has been consolidating in the region of its highs, and that is a bullish factor for the US more generally, but that doesn't obviate the possibility that we're going to see some additional consolidation and probably a good deal of ranging in the next few months. In Europe, the banks sector rallied to push back up into its range yesterday and improved on that performance in here today. So while it is lagging the wider market, it is now pushing back up into that overhead trading range, and that can be viewed as quite positive. While it can't be viewed as particularly surprising, it was certainly taken by as positive by the markets in here today that both the ECB and the Bank of England announced that they were going to hold their policy pretty much the same as it has been. I don't think anybody really considered it a possibility that they were going to tighten, but it does help to highlight the fact that while the US is talking about tapering its quantitative easing, the condition of the European market and the European economy, to be more specific, really precludes that possibility in Europe. And while one can argue whether the amount of liquidity that has been made available via the discount window is tantamount to quantitative easing or not, what we are presented with in Europe is abundant liquidity, and that is likely to filter its way into stock markets and into assets with either the potential for a higher yield or capital appreciation. But of course, it does weigh on the respective currencies. And the pound is right back to the 150 area, and it's currently at 150.74. And that represents the lower side of a range which has been evident for nearly 3 years. Considering the size of the deterioration in here today, and the fact that it's in the region of a previous low, we may see some, at least a pause in this area. But a clear upward dynamic would really be required to suggest that support is coming back in here and that demand is returning to dominance. And that really does highlight the fact that it is in the currency markets where there has been such a high degree of action in here. Over the last decade, we've been presented with this opportunity, but not least in the emerging markets, where the potential for both capital appreciation and currency appreciation was really quite high. And what we're now seeing is that while there is still abundant potential for capital appreciation, that the currency appreciation is no longer a given. And we're seeing that progressions of lower rally highs for the US dollar are being broken in an increasing number of currencies, and not least in the commodity complex. And that really does suggest that the last decade has been about dollar weakness. And that is unlikely to be the case in the next decade. Now, whether the US dollar is going to trend significantly higher in the next decade is really very much open to the debate. And I think really we'd need to see some quite marked improvements in governance in the US to bring that about. But what it does look like is that we're going to have a much more volatile environment in the commodity markets and in the currency markets more particularly. And that means that one will have to think more about hedging or looking at different types of instruments, because we're moving into a more volatile type of situation from the perspective of a global investor. And that is likely to play out in a number of different ways over the next number of years. But in the meantime, what we're seeing is that commodity currencies in particular are susceptible. And the Canadian dollar was a little bit weaker again in here today. And it's right at the upper side of its base. It has this saucering characteristic over the last number of years, which is generally consistent with accumulation for the US dollar. And the likelihood of significant additional strength for the Canadian dollar doesn't look particularly convincing. And I would say that it's more likely than not that the Canadian dollar is likely to follow the other commodity-linked currencies and deteriorate from here. In the ASEAN markets, where we have had these really quite significant pullbacks, some time is likely required for them to build some support before they can really start to test their peaks. And that does suggest that we are going to go through this lengthier period of ranging over the next number of months. What we are seeing, though, is that some of the autonomies have already pushed on to new high ground, and Starbucks in particular is very, very steady indeed. But we'll continue to be guided by the chart action. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.